All right, so this is Monday, and it is August 15th, and it's Bio 231. And I want to show you how to log into Blackboard. The sign-in sheet is going around, so make sure you find your name on the sign-in sheet. If you're officially registered for the class, your name will be on the sign-in sheet. If you're not officially registered, then just sign at the bottom, okay? And don't forget, I can't add anybody while in lecture, only from lab, so you need to find a spot in lab. So those students that are not registered and you signed the sign-in sheet already, then I'll probably have to ask you to leave lecture, especially if you're taking a seat, because I don't want you to take a seat for somebody that is officially registered for the class already. See me before lab. And I don't forget, I have a lab today at noon, and then Wednesday at 7:30, and then at noon as well. Okay, so there'll be a little mixing and matching as we move around a little bit. All right, I usually use two projectors, but I see only one is working, or I figured out only how to use one. Yeah. Just sign in on the bottom, and then I'll see you at lab. Yeah, make sure you sign in. Yeah, I don't know where the sign-in sheet is right at the moment. All right, so you know this is a hybrid class, which means that you have to have certain computer skills. You have to know how to mouse around on a computer. You can use a Mac or a PC. I know PCs work a lot better with some programs that I use compared to Macintoshes, because some programs need Internet Explorer. And I don't know if you know how to run Internet Explorer on a Macintosh. I'm sure there's probably a way to do it, but I don't know what you need. Most browsers, or the browser that works the best, is Mozilla Firefox. And you can run that on Mac and PC. And that's probably what you should be using. Though there are some programs that only work with IE. And I'll tell you which ones those are a little bit later in the semester. All right, so you do need a high-speed internet connection. Now, I did email everybody a welcome letter and with instructions how to log on to Blackboard and the syllabus and some other things. Like there's a extra credit quiz at the end of lab number one today where you have to draw and label a figure, right? That was attached to that diagram. So if you didn't get that email address, that email that I sent you, we have to work that out very quickly this week to make sure that you can access things. Sometimes your provider is blocking that email. I think AOL sometimes likes to shove some of those emails into a spam folder, and maybe Yahoo likes to do the same kind of thing. So you've got to be familiar with that. All right, so the goal for sure this week, 100% of the goal this week, is to make sure you can log into Blackboard. Okay, so you need your user ID number and your password, and the password should be the same one that you use for my gateway to get into WebStar for registration. Blackboard and all these other programs are different programs. They have to handshake every once in a while, maybe 10% of the time that handshake doesn't work and it doesn't copy your email address into Blackboard properly or your password, and then we just have to reset it. But that's something we got to definitely make sure that you know how to do this week. Okay, so the virtual classroom is Blackboard, and your username starts with that funny symbol, the ampersand right here, and then the rest of your numbers. That's close, but not quite. All right, but don't forget, your ID is going to be different than mine, and your password is going to be different than mine, too. But that should be the same one. Then you log in. All right, there's four different sections in this class. So there's four different courses in Blackboard. So I have your grade books in four different places. So if you send me an email, I definitely need to know the CRN number that you're in. And also the course number, because these are all the courses that I have right here. And I won't be able to find you unless I have that information. Right? So always put that in the subject line of the email. That will save my life if you do that. That would be really nice. All right, so here is... I think 12165 was maybe the 7:30 section that I had this morning. All right, so when you find your course, right, I'll just have some pretty pictures right here, some header information. Usually it will log you into the announcements page, and I'll put announcements in here to help you with some test material or other kinds of things that might be happening in the class. And then in the left-hand frame over here are a number of different buttons that will take you to the announcements page. Here's a page where you can print out the syllabus. All right, so if I left-click on that, all right, here's the page. The syllabus, you can see, what format is this syllabus in? Is it a Word document or what? PDF. It's a PDF document. Can you see PDF right there? All right, so you can always find the syllabus by logging into Blackboard and finding it, but a better way is maybe to download this to your computer, put it on the hard drive, right? So create on your hard drive a folder called 231, right? And so how would you download this to your hard drive? Instead of left click, do a right click on it, right? And then just say save link as or save target as, depending on what browser and what version of the browser and operating system you have. All right, this is going to be different, but save as someplace. So we're going to say syllabus. You can put it in downloads, but probably a better thing to do is put it in something that looks like Bio 231. Desktop, how about, I'll put it in my folder, unless we should put it in Dr. Ogoshi's folder just to freak him out a little bit, but we'll put it right here. We'll save it there, and then now that's on your hard drive for you to look at anytime, or you can print it out if you want. But there are active links in the syllabus that you might want to look at. All right, so let's see. Be nice to have two screens. Let's see, where did we put this thing? I don't have an icon on the desktop. Documents, probably here under Gober someplace. Spring, fall, here it is, right there. So now it's stuck on this hard drive forever. Let's go over some things that are in the syllabus. And maybe I didn't double click. Oh, I did. And this is a fast computer. Things change very quickly. Maybe I didn't double click. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right, so here are the different lab sections at times. You got to be in lecture 10:30 to 11:40. So this lecture is a little bit shorter compared to a traditional on-campus class, but not by much. So you're not getting gypped out of that very much. All right, contact information for myself. These are the rooms with my office hours. These are some links right here for important websites that I maintain to help you get through the class. All right, this is the one that has the lecture recordings in it. Okay, and then here are some others that contain interactive exercises. This is your textbook that you have to buy. It contains a lab manual, right? And it's in a loose leaf format, so it's about half as expensive as a regular bound textbook. Plus, with the lab manual in there, it's a pretty cheap way to go. So you got to get that from the bookstore, and a place across the street has it, but I don't know anywhere else that you can get it. Okay. So please read through the syllabus. I don't want to read through all of these different things, but to take a test, you do need a Cypress College or a Fullerton College picture ID. Okay, I have that in here someplace. All right, so please look through the syllabus. It's got a lot of important information. Okay, there are online assignments for course points. And you will have to take a weekly quiz online, and they're always going to be due on Tuesday night by 11 p.m. And you can always tell when there is something in Blackboard for course points because they have an icon associated with them, which is this dollar sign. So you can kind of scan pages in Blackboard very quickly and know exactly what pages you have to complete for credit in the class. So that's easy to do. So you got lab quizzes that make up part of your grade, that's in lab. You got lab practicums that make part of your grade. You've got weekly online quizzes, right, that have this dollar sign right here that become part of your grade. And then most importantly, you have the lecture exams right here. And you're going to have five of those during the semester, so here are your total points, and that adds up, and it's just a straight 90, 80, 70, 60 scale. And there's some extra credits sprinkled around here and there. I do like to give a lot of drawing extra credits during lab. All right, so please read about the computer policy and all of this stuff. What's important at the very bottom of the page right here, all right, is the lecture schedule. So we're going to pretty much conform to this schedule, and you can see that the exams are in bold and they're highlighted. The yellow right here means that it's an exam on Wednesday, which kind of hurts people that have a Wednesday lab. And then the ones that are in, what color is this right here? Gray. Okay. Ones that are highlighted in gray are on Monday. So that kind of hurts the people that have Monday labs a little bit. All right. So you can see that there's two on Monday, two on Wednesday. And then your final exam, all right, is on December 12th. And that doesn't matter because nobody has a lab that day. So I try to break up the lecture exams evenly so that nobody gets unduly hurt by that. And then here is the schedule for lab. All right, so lab one, lab two, and then on the third lab period, we've got P1. That stands for the first lab practicum. So you can look through this whole schedule and really know what's happening through the rest of the semester. All right, on days when you don't have a practicum, like on August 29th for you Monday people, then you will have quizzes. So you'll have a quiz starting next week. But you also had an extra credit quiz in lab today. All right, so does anybody have a question on the syllabus so far? And you can find that in Blackboard, which is right here under syllabus. It's probably in other locations as well. Course information, let's see what we have. Course information, welcome letter, the syllabus is in there. Weekly study plan, I do want to see that filled out for you guys. That will help you schedule your study time during the week, and it will help you make modifications so that you can get better grades. Some plugins you'll need, like video players and other kinds of things you can get right in here. Internet connection tools are just some things for you to take an extra credit quiz that tests your internet connection to make sure that it's up to speed and is working properly. It's not losing information on you. Because the weekly online quizzes, right, you have to complete by the deadline. And if your computer malfunctions and you can't get the weekly online quiz completed, right, that counts as an absence for you. So that's pretty important that you make sure that you have a good internet connection. All the computers in the library and resource center over there work very nicely. Right, they don't drop out during the middle of your quiz. Okay, what else? Course documents. Right here, lecture slides. So I have at least the text slides that I show in class. You can print these out ahead of time. That alleviates the need for you to take notes, all the notes during class, right? Or you can just fill in important concepts that you need to fill in. And so these you can print out ahead of time. They're not very lengthy because they don't contain images, but that's okay because all the images are in your textbook already. So you should have a copy of that. Other things in this are the lecture exam study guides. I think they're arranged pretty much by chapter. By exam. Okay, and so this will just detail what you need, how to prepare yourself for a lecture exam. So it tells you the pages in the book you need to read, what figures I find very important, and I might take figures from your textbook, erase all the labels, and put that on the exam, and then you have to match a word bank of labels or names of structures or names of processes to a particular picture that's in your textbook. And those practice diagrams are there for you to practice in these exam study guides. Documents. And documents, let's see, I also have a bunch of webcasts right here, different videos that you'll find particularly helpful for lab, not necessarily for lecture. All right, but make sure that you mouse around in Blackboard and become familiar with some of these other things. The pre-lecture reading assignments. These are homework assignments that are not graded. How do you know these are not graded right here? Because it's missing something. It's missing the icon, the dollar sign icon, but nonetheless you should print them out. Okay, and read the chapters, like this one is for chapters 1 and 2, and answer the questions. Now, is this before lecture or after lecture? Before lecture, because then you become familiar with terminology and concepts that I will use in lecture so that when I speak them in lecture, it will sort of make sense, right? Because the first time you hear a strange concept, it's not going to make a lot of sense. The second time, it will make a little bit more sense. The third time, even better, right? So this is a way to work repetition into your learning and studying. And so it will just make lectures a whole lot more fun and meaningful if you do these assignments before lecture, because I'll be free to use proper scientific terminology and we'll be communicating, right? I won't be speaking a foreign language to you. And then after the lecture, the answer keys will become available for you. Okay, like this one right here. It will be available after August 22nd, and I've programmed all these to open up at the proper time according to the schedule. So you can check your own work, because to answer questions is a really good way to study, but if you answer the question wrong and you learn the wrong thing for the test, that doesn't help you out, right? So always check your answers to these answer keys right here. And I made these answer keys, so even though maybe you put the right answer down for one of these pre-lecture reading assignments, at least you get to see how I'm thinking. And that's important, because guess who makes out the tests and grades the tests? It's me, right? So now you're really in tune to how I'm thinking, which is really important for a test. All right, so that's in pre-lecture reading assignments. I have a first couple chapters of Marib right here in a PDF format if you don't have your textbook yet, but you got to get that textbook because it has the lab manual, right? So these you can download and read to get you started. Supplemental instruction. This is where I'll put information for Christina, and I don't know if it might be close to accurate, but I'll make sure it's accurate by next week. Okay, but I'll add that. Lecture recordings, that's just a link to the website. Study room is up on the third floor. This will give you the hours and who's available for you to work with specimens and microscopes or whatever. Some information about me that's down at the bottom. But this is a pretty good button right here. Tools, this is what contains your grades. So you're going to go and look at my grades so you can check your progress through the whole class. Right? So I'll try to update these pretty quickly after a test. If it's an online quiz, you'll get it back immediately, right? And your grade will be updated in my grades. And online quizzes can be taken an unlimited number of times, right? And so you can take them over and over and over again, which is fine. It helps practice repetition for you to know the information. But there is a deadline for each of them. And once that deadline is passed, you can't take it any more times. Even though you can take it a million times before the deadline, how many times after the deadline? Zero times, right? So you got to really pay attention to that deadline. And I mentioned in passing what the deadline is. What is the deadline for online quizzes? Tuesday at 11 o'clock every time, 11 p.m., okay? And Blackboard works really well in the morning, but when thousands of students log on at 10:30 at night trying to finish their quizzes, okay, guess what happens to Blackboard? It slows down and it might get a little flaky. So don't wait to the last minute to do your assignments online. Get it done early ahead of time. And where do you find these things? It's under here, under weekly assignments. So the course is broken down by weekly sections. And on this page right here, you can see every week. And there's a week at a glance, and you can tell what you have to do for course points during that week. And so for week one, you can see we're going to look at chapter one, and you have a week one chapter one quiz, and it's worth 10 points. So that's not an active link. You can't go to that quiz by clicking that. I don't want you to do that. I want you to learn the information before you take the quiz. So you have to click on that to learn the information. All right, but what is the deadline for completing this dollar sign right here? Tuesday, August 23rd at 11 p.m., and that happens to be on a Tuesday, right? So some of you are going to forget that Tuesday night, and that might happen in 3 or 4 weeks, but try not to forget every Tuesday, even the week of Thanksgiving. Guess what? There's an online quiz. That's not to pester you, but that's to help keep you on pace and to help you review and learn the information for the lecture tests, which are the most important things. All right, so chapter one, let's click on that. So here are some objectives. Your view might be a little bit different because you don't have an instructor view, but this page will come up. This will give you objectives. So after you're done studying this chapter, look at these objectives right here, and if they make sense, then you're doing good. If you read something in the objectives that makes absolutely no sense, guess what? Then you got to go back to that part of the chapter or that part of the lecture notes or that part of the lecture and review it to make sure you become a little bit more familiar with that material. All right, so chapter 1, the reading is from pages 1 to 13, and those are the only pages you have to read in that chapter. And then there are interactive exercises for you. Labeling, like anterior body regions right here. You can right-click or left-click. You know, I would probably right-click and open these in a new window all the time. I have it programmed for that to happen, but it might not always happen. Right, that just seems to be simple for me. A lot of these are drag and drop exercises, so if you put it in the wrong region, right, it just bonks out. Okay, but carpal would be like in a wrist over here, and right, it probably has a ringing bell or something, or a whoopee or whatever. Okay, so you can practice, and this is directly from your textbook. A lot of the interactive exercises are not exactly from your textbook, but they're very, very similar. All right, so some people learn labeling very efficiently. In the study guide, you have these figures just on a blank piece of paper, and you can just write those things out if you want to. Different ways that you can study the information. All right, so you got hundreds of interactive exercises. There are animations that review concepts. Here is the Essential Study Partner that has a good text. It also has labeling exercises, but this one right here only works in Internet Explorer. So if I try to go there right now, I'm in Mozilla Firefox. It will go there, but it won't know what to do. So you'll have to launch this in Internet Explorer. Practice quizzes. These are from the publisher of your textbook, and these are just another 100 or so questions that you can practice and use the information that you learn in this particular chapter. All right, so some people can memorize very efficiently, but the only way to really learn the information is by using it, and working these quizzes right here actually are very helpful for you to really learn and incorporate the information. Some of these questions I could place on the lecture test, and some of these questions I can also put in the online weekly quiz. So here is what you have to take by the deadline, which is going to be Tuesday. Not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday at 11 p.m. So you'd click on that and work through this particular quiz. And you can take this quiz as many times as you want. It will store your highest grade in Blackboard. At least that's how it's programmed. I might have to change the program if it doesn't work. All right, but that has to be done by the deadline, which was on the front page. So every week we'll have the same kind of touch and feel to it. And the very last page is going to be the quiz that you have to take, due on Tuesday. All right, so that's Blackboard for you. So remember, the goal for you, make sure you can log into Blackboard this week to make sure that you have your username and password properly set. And if not, I can reset them. And as a matter of fact, I can do that remotely. So if you have problems logging in, you can email me, and eventually this week I'll get around to answering everybody's email. All right, so if you have a hang-up, make sure you contact me. One thing that I ask when you email me, because I have so many different sections, make sure you tell me Bio 231, because I teach way too many classes. And don't forget, there's many sections of Bio 231 that I teach, and so you got to give me your CRN number too. All right, so I got to know that information to help you out. Otherwise, I'll just email you back. Okay, any questions on Blackboard? No? Okay. All right, so let's get started talking about some anatomy. And maybe you've printed out the text slides, which are going to look something like, something like this. Okay, lecture notes, introduction. And I really got to get this other camera working, or projector working. All right, and I'll open up some pictures in just a little bit, but I'm going to talk about some of these different things. The first two topics we're going to talk about are scientific disciplines, all right, fields of study. One is called anatomy, and the other is physiology. One is the study of pieces, or the parts that make up the human body, and the other is the study of how all of these pieces work together and function to keep you in a healthy state or a disease-free state. One is basic, one is a little bit more complicated. One is fundamental. One discipline you have to understand before you can go to the more complicated discipline. Okay, so could anybody guess what is the basic discipline, the fundamental discipline that you should understand before you go to the more complicated discipline? Where's the place to start? He has anatomy, and that's the study of the structure of the human body. So that's where you're going to start. Understanding how the body functions is a whole lot more complicated, and you can't appreciate it unless you know all the parts of the body. Okay, like you're not going to know how to drive a car unless you know what's a gas pedal, what's a brake pedal, what's a steering wheel. And once you know that, you got a shot. But if you don't even know that, there's no way you're going to know how a car functions, right? Okay, so anatomy is a scientific discipline that investigates the structure of the human body. And that's what this course is, primarily focuses on structure. We'll talk about function a little bit to make it interesting, but also to drive the importance of knowing the structure. Physiology, on the other hand, is a scientific discipline that studies processes or the functions of living systems. Right? And that's another class. So anatomy is a prerequisite for physiology classes. You have to have that pretty much at every college everywhere. As a matter of fact, and probably I'll say, and I mentioned this in the syllabus, if you're going to move on to a physiology class like Bio 241, right, not only do you have to know anatomy, but it's my recommendation that you take and pass with at least a C a college-level chemistry class. I know you don't want to hear that, okay, but you should do that because every student that has taken my recommendation has thanked me. All right, so before you take Bio 241, take and pass a chemistry class first, right, and you'll be set up to do well because everybody needs to get the best grades possible. And if you don't do that, you won't get the best grade possible, or the chances are you won't get the best grade possible in 241. All right? And if you're the person that is thinking, oh, I hate chemistry, I don't want to do it, I don't want to take that advice, guess what? You're the perfect person that should really listen to that advice, right? If you have an aversion to chemistry or scared of it or whatever, then I think you should really apply yourself a little bit more and get over that anxiety before you take a physiology class. All right, some branches of anatomy. There are different kinds of anatomy, and we'll look at some of these in this course. Gross anatomy. Gross just means it comes from a German derivation. Anybody know what gross means in German? It means big. So gross anatomy is just anatomy you can see with your naked eye. You don't need any fancy kind of instruments to see gross anatomy. Like, name me a gross anatomical structure on your body. Nose, skin, yeah, very good. As opposed to Golgi apparatus, okay, or cilia, things like that. You can't see with your naked eye. You need a special instrument to do that. You need a microscope. Which takes us to the next topic right here, microscopic anatomy. They're anatomists that work all day long for their whole lives with things that they can't see with their naked eyes. They need a microscope to see it. They need to study, for instance, cells or organelles, or they need a microscope to look at embryological development of what happens to a developing human in utero. So as a matter of fact, okay, some of these fields overlap, like developmental anatomy is the study of the human body from conception until the day that you die, because your body changes all the time. Right, mostly as an embryo in utero, but your body even as an adult is changing. There's a part of your body that grows all the time. Probably some of you know that. What part of your body grows all the time? Your ears and your nose. That's why your grandma and grandpa's nose big. Grandpa's ears are big because they keep growing their whole life. Not as fast as some other parts of their life, but it still grows. Embryology is the study, right, before you're born. The study of what? What are you studying right here if you're an embryologist? And we're talking the anatomy, which is what? The structure. How are structures changing, right, in utero before you're born? So that's an important scientific discipline. And we'll talk a little bit about surface anatomy, and that is some things that you can see on the surface of your body. And that's important because if you know these landmarks, then you have a good idea of what is directly underneath these structures. All right, like this pointy bump right here on my elbow. That's the olecranon process. Oh, well, if you know that, then you know that's part, you know the name of the bone, right? You know some muscles that attach there, so you know that's the ulna. That's an important muscle with the triceps attaches that allows you to move your arm in that direction. We call that extension. Right, so surface anatomy is kind of important to know some landmarks, because if you're going to give somebody a shot, you want to introduce that shot or needle into the right place where you don't lacerate a nerve, or inject it into an artery where you might croak somebody right away, right? So surface anatomy is pretty important. And the kind of anatomy that we look at in this class is not on this list right here, so you might want to jot this down. It's called systemic anatomy or organ system anatomy. We're going to look at the human body and break it down by organ system. It's a real handy and easy way to know anatomy. So we're going to look at the skeletal system, know all the bones. Then we'll move on to muscles, learn some muscles, and the nervous system like brain, spinal cord, and then move on to maybe kidneys and respiratory system. So we break the whole body down into pieces. So if you got a complicated thing to understand, like the human body, okay, it's important to break it down into smaller pieces, learn the smaller pieces, which is easier to do, and add all the little pieces up together, and then you have a pretty good understanding on how the whole body is put together. All right, so that's really a good model to approach the study of anything complicated, like your finances. There's no way to think of anybody's finances unless you do what? Oh, well, I need a certain amount for rent, I need a certain amount for gas, then we got car payments, right? You got to break it up into smaller pieces, and then you get all the small pieces. What do? You add it all up and say, well, there's no possible way I can live. But, you know, somehow we figure it all out, right? You got to shuffle money around from one place to another. All right, so we'd like to start with small things and then add small things together, all right? And so we have levels of structural and functional organization right here. And where's a good place to start? With big things or little things when we first start studying a topic? You cut things, you cut big things down into smaller things. Learn the smaller things first. So the smallest thing we're going to learn are chemicals. Can't see these with a microscope, but these things play important roles in your body, like adenosine triphosphate. That might be one of the most important molecules of life because it's an energy molecule. It allows unfavorable reactions to take place, like muscle contraction or thought. Anything that requires energy in your body can be paid for if your cells have adenosine triphosphate, and it's something that's called ATP. All right, so we'll learn about organelles that make ATP and some important functions of ATP. Collagen is a structural kind of fiber. It's a protein that holds your body together. And then there are various electrolytes, like calcium and sodium and potassium. These run electrical properties or systems in your body. We'll just barely mention these things in anatomy, but I said these things run electrical systems in your body, electrical functions. So where would you expect to run into these electrolytes in great detail? What kind of class, anatomy or physiology? A physiology class, right? Okay. Cholesterol is a lipid, and then H2O, you probably heard of already, that's the solvent that you're dissolved in, right? That's how chemistry works in your body. Is dissolved in water, makes up most of your body, but it also acts as a reactant or a product in many chemical reactions too. All right, and if we put all of these chemicals together, we can get something called an organelle. Right? And organelles still, you can't really see with a microscope. You can almost see some organelles, like maybe the nucleus underneath a microscope, but there are other things like rough endoplasmic reticulum that makes proteins. A Golgi body, right, has a special function that modifies chemicals inside the cell. And we're going to talk in detail about these different organelles when we get to that particular chapter. But what's important is for you to know what the building block of an organelle is, right? And what are the building blocks of an organelle? It is chemicals. So if we put chemicals together, we can make organelles. And if we put a whole bunch of organelles together, what do we make? We can make a cell. Okay? So we're going to learn all the organelles and then put them together to make a cell. And the cell is a basic living unit. If you are interested whether or not something is alive or not, if you look underneath a microscope, it has to be made up of cells. If it's not made up of cells, then it can't be alive, right? And a cell is, what are some of the building blocks that make up a cell? Nucleus It's got to have a cell membrane. It's got to have organelles and genetic material inside the nucleus. If it doesn't have that, then it is not a cell. And if it's not a cell, what can you tell me? Is it alive or not? It's not alive. So that's really good to know, because there are some things like a virus. A virus has genetic material, but it's not in a nucleus. A virus doesn't have organelles. A virus doesn't have a cell membrane. So is a virus alive? Then your answer is, you have to deduce, yeah, a virus is not a living system. Okay, it's very infectious for sure. It can disrupt living systems, but essentially by itself, it is not alive. So that's why viral infections are so difficult to treat. Bacterial infections, bacteria are cells. Bacterial infections are relatively easy to treat because you can kill a bacteria. But you can't kill, you can't treat a viral infection by killing a virus. Why? Because it's not alive to begin with, right? That's why they're so dangerous. All right, and then if we put a bunch of cells together, we get something else called a tissue. Nice thing about a tissue is that there's only four kinds of tissues that make up your whole body, right? There's epithelium, connective, muscle, and nervous tissue. This will make up a whole chapter by itself, but you should know what the basic building block of a tissue is. What's the basic building block of a tissue? It's a cell, right? And so a tissue is a group of cells that have the same structure and are all performing the same kind of function. That's a definition of a tissue. All these cells have the same look and they're all doing the same kind of thing. So if you have two different tissues, the look of those cells are going to look different and they're going to have a different function, therefore they're different tissues. Okay, then if we take a number of different tissues and put them together, like maybe epithelium and muscle, then that makes an organ. All right, so an organ is, what, two or more tissues that work together to perform a function. And, I don't know, give me the name of some organs. What's your favorite organ? Your heart, really good one. Okay, it's got a number of different kinds of tissues. It's got some muscle in there, but it's got some nervous tissue as well. Right, it's got some connective tissue, and it's even got some epithelium in there. So indeed it is an organ. Okay, brain is probably another really good example. It's got nervous tissue, but it also has connective tissue, and it's got epithelium as well. All right, and then if we take all different organs, we put a couple different organs together, we get the next level of complexity, which is an organ system. So it's a group of organs performing the same function. Like the cardiovascular system. It's got heart, right? It's got blood vessels. It's got a number of different kinds of organs that work together to supply oxygen all over your body, or maybe transmit signaling compounds like hormones throughout your body so that your body is coordinated. And then if you take a bunch of organ systems, like I said, cardiovascular is one organ system. What's another kind of organ system? Nervous system is one. Okay. Digestive system, right? Now, when you start to study this chapter, you should begin to get a little feel what kind of organs actually make up the digestive system. I don't want you to know all of them for the first test, but become familiar. Like, what kind of organs make up the digestive system? You got stomach. And then, yeah, you got mouth. Oh, tongue, yeah, all those things are the oral cavity, okay? Large intestine, small intestine, and then some other things that we're going to look at, like the pancreas and the liver participates in the digestive system. That you'll learn about a little bit later on in the class. And then if you put all these organ systems together, guess what you have? You get you, which is pretty complicated, which is a terrible place to start at the beginning. Where do you want to start? Thank God. Let's start with something small, easy. Chemicals, right? And then we'll build on that. And eventually, in a couple weeks, we'll start looking at systemic anatomy by looking at anatomy based on different organ systems that these things make up inside your body. All right, so let me maybe show you a couple pictures of some of these things. It's going to be just maybe a little cumbersome till I get that other projector working, but I can do that. All right, so you want the 6th edition of Marib. This is good. All right, so here is a slide that shows that structural and functional level of organization. My outline might be just a little bit different, but essentially it's pretty much the same, starting with the very smallest level of organization, which is chemical. Okay, and then if we put a bunch of chemicals together, you get organelles. Put a bunch of organelles together, what do you get? Cells. If you put a bunch of cells together, you get a tissue, right? And a tissue is just a group of cells with all the same structure and function. And then if you put different tissues together, you get an organ. Put different organs that have the same kind of function together, you get organ system. And if you put all bunch of organ systems together, you get a guy here that can play tennis. That's amazing. Okay. All right, so eventually, you're not going to have to understand chemicals by their shape right here. In physiology, I think I go over that a little bit. But later on in the class, you'll have to know the name of this organelle and its function by its shape. That's pretty important because, remember, shape is anatomy. This organelle, just to give you a little clue, this is what we call a mitochondria, and it makes ATP, adenosine triphosphate. So is that an important organelle in your body? Absolutely. You always want to make sure that this mitochondria is happy because it produces ATP, which is what? The energy molecule that runs your body. It converts the nutrition that you eat in your diet and converts it into ATP that runs all of the systems in your body. All right. The next couple of slides just show the various organ systems. Here is one, okay, which you're probably not familiar with until you take an anatomy class. But it's kind of strange, it's a little ironic, because it's the largest organ in your body, and it is the integument. The integument is skin and some accessory structures like nails and some glands and hair, okay? Glands that secrete sweat and oil and stuff like that. That is the integumentary system. All right, so I probably like to test on that one a lot. That just shows me that people are reading their assignments and learning new stuff. I probably won't ask you what system, organ system, the heart belongs to, or the stomach, right? That's too easy. But this integument is a good one. All right, so take a look. Oh, here's a skeletal system. Okay, maybe you know some bones, some muscles right here, muscular system. Nervous system, you got brain, spinal cord right here, and I also see some peripheral nerves leaving the spinal cord right there. Here's a system that we didn't talk about, endocrine system. It's a way of controlling. These organs help control different processes in your body. They secrete hormones that are secreted into the blood, and once they're in the blood, where do these signaling molecules or hormones go? Everywhere in your body, because blood goes pretty much everywhere, right? So those hormones can control all kinds of different functions in your body. So probably know some of these organs. There's your cardiovascular, lymphatic system. It's a part of, kind of a part of the cardiovascular system. Lymph nodes, lymph ducts, and some organs like the spleen and thymus. Now, of course, I'm showing you all these things that you're going to spend a whole semester looking at in detail and learning. So if you don't have a really good feel for all these things, that's okay, because that's what the whole semester is for. Respiratory system. Okay, starting with the nasal cavity up here by somebody's nose, then upper airway, lower airways, and lungs, right, for breathing in oxygen. And also, right, you could think of the respiratory system partly as an excretory system. What are the lungs excreting? Like carbon dioxide. Yeah. And it also helps in a large degree in acid-base balance in your body. That's for a little bit later on. Okay. Here's that nice digestive system. Okay. Urinary system. Kidneys produce urine. Pretty small system, but it's very important. We'll get to that at the end of the... And then the very last chapter that we're going to look at is the diversification system. Pretty complicated. And you might ask yourself, why do some people have a uterus and an ovary and a vagina and all this other stuff? And other people have a penis and a scrotum and testes. It's also complicated. Something I want you to think about by the time you get to the end of the semester, why is it so complicated? Okay. And the other thing maybe along that same lines are, how many sexes are there? Well, I see two. And a good question that you should ask yourself, why are there two? How come there's not three? How come there's not four? All right, so we're going to learn about these different structures, but answer some of those questions as well. All right, this diagram right here, I'm not going to go over in lecture, but this is an important exam figure. So make sure you can label these different regions in the body. Orbital is eye, okay, oral is mouth, and ear right here might be on the next figure. This ear is otic with a T, otic region right here. So optic and otic are two different things. Optic or optical refers to the eyes, and otic refers to the ears. Like a ophthalmoscope is something you use to look into somebody's eyes, but an otoscope is something you use to look into somebody's ears, right? Okay. So that will help you through the rest of the semester if you can actually label this diagram and also the posterior or dorsal view as well. Okay, so that will help you. And you got some really good interactive exercises on that. All right, here's a pretty good figure that you should know. And the dimensions of space, right, there are basically three dimensions. There are three planes that can completely define space in our reality. And then there's time, but we don't really consider that in this diagram. And these planes are perpendicular to each other. I want you to know the orientation and names of these particular planes. So why do I say there are three planes? It's important in anatomy to know where something is exactly. So here I have a stapler right here, and I've got it on the table. Mathematically, how could you tell me exactly where the stapler is? So that if you had some kind of instrument, you could find exactly where this stapler is. What are three things that you have to tell me? You have to tell me how far away it is from a side wall. How far? Where is it in terms of right to left? But would that tell me where it is? No, because that could be anywhere in this line right here, right? What else would you have to tell me besides right and left? How high off the floor is it? Okay, but there still is a line. It doesn't tell me exactly where it is. So you have to tell me right and left. You have to tell me up and down. But what else would you have to tell me? Front and back. Right? How far away is it from the back wall or the front wall? If you give me just those three little things, I know exactly where this stapler is, right? So when we image the body, it's by these three planes that are perpendicular to each other. This plane right here, which separates the body into right and left parts, right? This is the sagittal plane. Sagittal. So it's a plane that separates right parts from the body, left parts. And it just so happens that our body is fairly symmetrical from right to left. Like if you have five fingers on one side of your body, what do you usually have on the other? You got five on the other side. So it's nice and symmetrical. So if there's a plane that separates the body exactly down the middle through the tip of your nose, between your two front teeth and belly button, that separates the body pretty much into equal right and left parts. And that is called the mid-sagittal plane. So mid-sagittal is just a special condition of sagittal. You could have a sagittal plane that moves way over to the left that just chops your left arm off from the rest of your body. That's a sagittal plane, but is that a mid-sagittal plane? No, because they're not equal parts, right? That's sagittal. You can also cut the body into two different parts in a horizontal plane, a top part from a bottom part. And that's what we call transverse. So here's a transverse plane right here. And don't forget, these planes you can move either right and left with the sagittal or up and down with the transverse, okay? And then lastly, here is the frontal plane. Sometimes it's called the coronal plane. That just separates an anterior part or a front part of your body from a posterior part or a back part of your body. So a frontal plane could just chop off the very tip of your nose from everything that's behind it, right? But there's no mid-frontal plane because there's no symmetry in terms of anterior and posterior parts of your body, right? But nonetheless, don't forget these planes can move back and forth. So make sure you label this a number of different times, and this will kind of illustrate something about how you'll begin to study anatomy. The first time you look at this figure, you'll probably get these names wrong. The second time, maybe a little bit better, but if you practice labeling this figure 10 times, chances are you won't make a mistake on a test. If you label this figure 20 times, right, oh, you're going to do really well on the exam, right? So repetition is really important. And something that will help you is even if you have to, if you can't remember the names of these planes, start with a blank piece of paper and draw the figure and then label what you draw on the piece of paper, and that will even help you understand the information even a little bit more. Right, so that's really underscores why you need to work with that weekly study plan and get your study time scheduled, right, so that you can set yourself up for success when that first lecture exam comes around. And after you do this a number of times, anatomy gets easier. By the time, the last week in anatomy, by the time we get to the diversification system and urinary system, you'll look at an illustration probably one time, and you'll be able to commit it to memory. And that will happen if what? If that first figure, you look at 20, maybe even take you 50 times to learn that first figure. But then you go to the next figure, it's going to take you less effort. And then by the end of the class, all right, the anatomy will start to become a lot easier for you, for most people. Okay, most of us do very well with visual learning, and that's one of the reasons why I set up this class as a hybrid class, because there's a lot of good visual learning taking place. All right, so let's practice some of these planes. This is a really weird image. I don't even know how it was taken. Maybe it's a color-enhanced MRI image. And is this section right here? Oh, it tells you on the top. Don't read the top. Is this a sagittal or transverse or a frontal or coronal section? Yeah, it's a frontal plane, okay? Because I can see left over here, left over here and right over here. I see somebody's little heart right there. It's loaded with artifacts, but you can probably make some things out. Like here's somebody's neck. All right, so what imaging plane is this? It's transverse. It's separating the superior from an inferior part, right? And we can see different organs inside there. And then here is a side view or a sagittal section. Okay. So, I think I need to go to my little cheat sheet right here and take a look and see what other things I should be talking about. Okay, we talked about these planes. Yeah, I need to talk a couple more things right here. Anatomic position. All right, so you're going to, later on this evening, you're going to join some friends for dinner at a restaurant you've never been to before, but that's no problem because you have the address, right? And as a matter of fact, maybe you even have some directions, but you get lost on the way there, but you have your trusty cell phone, and you call your friend and say, hey, I'm going to be there on time, but just a little bit late because I'm lost. Can you help me get to the restaurant? And your friend is going to say, sure, be glad to help you, but I can't. Why can't your friend help you get to the restaurant? What didn't you tell your friend? Where you are, right? So you always have to tell somebody where you are. Same thing with anatomy. So you have to understand the coordinate system and the basic definition of how everything in your body is laid out. And that is anatomic position. An anatomic position, because your body can take all kinds of different contortions, right? But you have to place a body in a standard position to know that if you go to the left, what do you hit? If you go to the right, if you go up and down, right, you got to have a standard position. So think of anatomical position as somebody that's standing on their feet, okay, erect with their head up and their arms down by their sides, their feet flat on the floor, okay, and that's close to anatomic position but not quite. I'm relaxed, but which way are my palms facing if you look at my hands? They're facing behind me. Okay, and that's a relaxed position, but that's kind of complicated in the body. When we get to the skeletal system, you'll see why. Anatomic position is so that your thumbs are pointing to the outside. Okay, now that is anatomic position because the bones of the forearm don't cross over each other when you're in this position. So now if you go right to left, you know where all the organs are in proper location. So this is anatomic position. Okay. Some directional terms, anterior and posterior. Anterior is the front of the body, posterior is behind. Usually these terms are used when you compare two different structures. Okay, like for instance, your spinal cord compared to your nose is what? So I got two structures, your nose and your spinal cord, which is here. All right, your spinal cord is what compared to your nose? It is posterior. Right, so usually we use these when we compare or we understand the relative relationship between two things. All right, so that's anterior, posterior. And there are some other terms that are exactly the same. Ventral and dorsal. Ventral is anterior, dorsal is posterior. And we use these terms interchangeably. I just haven't changed this slide right here. Okay. Superior, inferior. Superior means toward your head in anatomic position, right? So that means above. Inferior means below, down toward your feet. That's all that means. Doesn't mean one is better or worse than the other. So what is your nose compared to your belly button? It's superior. Is it any better or worse? No, it just means above, right? Okay, cranial and caudal. Pretty much means the same thing as superior and inferior. It works really well for animals that have a tail. Caudal means toward the tail, which generally is what? Kind of inferior, right? All right, so cranial means up toward the brain. Caudal is down toward your tail region, right? You have a little vestigial tail right there, not very important. So cranial would be superior, caudal would be inferior. That would be a good way to think of that. Medial and lateral. Okay, medial means that is going to be closer to some midline in your body. Lateral means it's going to be out towards the side. So in anatomic position, which way are your thumbs pointing? Medially or laterally? Laterally out to the side. Your thumb compare, or your little finger compared to your thumb is what? Your little finger is medial compared to your thumb. But that only makes sense if what? If you're in anatomic position, right? So that's why anatomic position is so important. All right, here might be the difficult one to appreciate, proximal and distal. Think of some center place inside your body, like your heart is in the very center. Okay, and then you have blood vessels that stream off of the heart that take blood. All right, anything that's close to that center location is going to be proximal. Anything farther away is going to be distal. All right, but you could use this for joints as well. Which is the most proximal joint, the elbow or the wrist? So most proximal, because it's closer to some center location in your body, is the elbow. Okay, the distal joint will be the wrist. Or you could say the wrist is distal compared to the elbow right here. All right, so that's really good. And of course, that only makes sense if what? You're in anatomic position. Okay, not any kind of contortion that you're in. Here's a pretty easy one, superficial and deep. Okay, superficial means on the surface of your body or the surface of an organ or the surface of the cell or the surface of a tissue as opposed to something that is deep down inside. So you have the integument and you have the cardiovascular system. The integument is what compared to cardiovascular? Is superficial, right? Because it's the covering. And all organs will have different layers, and we'll have to learn layers from superficial to deep and know something about the functions of these different things. All right, so these are good things to know. All right, so I think body cavities, maybe we'll start with body cavities next time, but make sure you sign the sign-in sheet because that's your receipt that you were in class, and I won't drop you. Or if I do drop you and you sign the sign-in sheet, then I've got to sign all the paperwork to get you back in class. All right, so it's important. So where's that sign-in sheet at? Where's the sign-in sheet? Yeah, bring it down to the front. Thanks. And I'll check the recorder right here. See if it recorded. Looks good. Now what do I do?